Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Stop sign. Not me. Hallway. Dice game. Lose it all.
Tonight, the NBA draft lottery on ESPN. Could be a big night for James Wiseman, Preston Chua. Certainly lots of intriguing prospects. Mike Smith is an NBA draft analyst for ESPN. He's got film sessions with all these guys, and he joins us now. Mike, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, so let's start in a hypothetical universe where the Grizzlies luck up. They didn't use up all their luck last season, and they luck up, and they get the fourth pick in this NBA draft. Obviously, without knowing exactly how the top three is going to shake out, the Grizzlies would need to target a wing. That's pretty much, I think, at this point, the universally accepted need on their roster. At four, who would you feel good about for the Memphis Grizzlies? If wing is the direction they're going, who at four would you feel pretty comfortable with?
Yeah, the guy I love in that spot is Denny Avdija. You know, he's not exactly a household name here in the States, but, you know, we've been following him since he was 15, 16 years old. 6'9", 6'10", really, really versatile, you know, can handle the ball a little bit in the open court, really competitive. So he's half Israeli, half Serbian. He's been playing out for Maccabi Tel Aviv in Israel. And listen, he's played 25 EuroLeague games already. He was the MVP of the Israeli League, you know, at 19 years old. So a guy who doesn't exactly need the ball to have an impact and kind of fits in that hybrid forward spot would be a great fit next to Ja and Jaren.
Well, I agree with you, Mike. I think my partner's worried about his production over there. What would you say to that?
I would say that Maccabi Tel Aviv, especially at the EuroLeague level, is probably the toughest spot to play in the world outside of the United States in terms of, you know, the pressure on a night-to-night basis, especially when you're really the greatest Israeli prospect to ever play. And they have NBA guys, you know, Scotty Wilbekin from Florida. You know, he's a guy who could probably have a role on the NBA team. Tyler Dorsey, former draft pick. Amari Stoudemire, obviously, toward the end of his career, but former, you know, all-star and big-time player in the league. Quincy Acey. So he's been playing in an NBA environment, you know, for a long time. And I think just not everybody's Luka Doncic, right? Not everyone's going to be winning, you know, the MVP over there at that age. So I think he's a guy who's ready to contribute and fits the modern game.
And we realize we're talking super long shot here. I think it's 2.4% chance the Grizz could jump in the top four. So probably not looking at that after tonight. Would Golden State, do you think, might really pass on a guy we know well here, obviously, in James Wiseman, should they get the one pick?
I think it'd be up in the air. You know, I think you could talk yourself into Anthony Edwards for sure in terms of a guy who can score right away at a pretty high level and then can also, you know, be groomed to be that next star as he continues to improve kind of, you know, his shot selection, his defensive intensity. But Wiseman, I think, makes a lot of sense for them too. You know, a guy who you can kind of slot in that maybe DeAndre Jordan type role, just as a lob catcher, a rim protector, a guy who can really, really run the floor. And so I think both those guys make some sense there. You know, for them, I think it would also make sense to consider moving down potentially. You know, if there's not a guy that they love at that number one spot, you know, it's a big financial commitment when you draft the number one pick. And I think if you slide down, you know, kind of toward 5, 6, 7, that range, there are some guys who could help them right away and kind of fit their timeline as well.
What are the questions with James? Because the physical tools, we saw it very, very briefly here in Memphis. But when you talk to NBA teams about him, what are the questions?
Yeah, I think some of it is sample size, right? Obviously, only being able to see him for three games this season. You know, sure, we all saw him. You know, we saw him at the UIBL circuit. We saw him at the Hoop Summit. We saw him with Team USA. I mean, we've been watching him since he was 15 years old. But, you know, most of your higher level, you know, GM, president, executive types have really only seen him, you know, at like a Memphis Pro Day, a practice, and then maybe that Oregon game, right? So part of it is the sample size, and maybe if he had a full season, you know, we wouldn't be talking about this draft as being so wide open at the top. But, you know, with him, I think it's just about being durable, consistently, you know, playing through injuries, being tough every single possession. And I think that's what scouts, you know, want to see for him. But physically, I mean, he's a joke. He's a physical marvel, one of the most impressive athletes and build in a center I've ever seen.
Is it, maybe you shoot this one down, Mike, maybe that's right, but is it fair to question commitment level with him the three games here, knowing that everything that went on? And you, I figure, too, because we know the kid a little bit, you know, that adults in that case are making a lot of the decisions, but these NBA general managers, these front offices want to know, and I'm sure it's a question he's facing. Is it fair, I guess, to question his commitment level? Every time we see him working out, he looks like he's going hard, you know?
Yeah, you know, he's a sweet, sweet kid. I mean, a tremendous young man by all accounts. And any time that I've spent with him, you know, I've really, really enjoyed. And I think he's going to continue to keep learning and listening to, you know, the veterans that he's going to have on his team and the coaching staff. And like you said, I mean, for us to, you know, question the intent and motives of an 18, 19-year-old kid, it's probably a lot to put on him, you know what I mean? And so a lot of the circumstances in his life aren't things that, you know, he asked for or chose. And so, again, I mean, some of it is, sure, like there are times that, you know, you would like him to play a little harder, or there are times that you would like him to play through mistakes without hanging his head and things like that. But, you know, that those are generally the things that you see from 18, 19-year-old bigs, especially ones with his talent level.
With you 100%.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Smits, NBA draft analyst for ESPN. Draft lottery is tonight, I believe it's 7:30 on ESPN. The other guy from Memphis who is in this draft is Precious Achiuwa, who it seems like has relatively, in some ways, improved his stock since coming to the University of Memphis. What do you sort of see in him? What's his role? And I guess, like, fit-wise, what would you like to see for Precious?
Yeah, so Precious, to me, is really a beneficiary of the way the game has changed. You know, I think when we were watching him at a young age, it was so much about, hey, I'm a wing, you know, I need to be this 3-4 and be Kawhi and be LeBron and be in that mold. But as you guys saw this season, you know, with Wiseman not there and kind of the back half of the season, when he embraced being like that Tasmanian devil small ball five, he was a complete nightmare for defenses. And I think teams see a guy who can, you know, switch pick and roll, who can protect the rim a little bit, and who's just tremendous as a roll man, as a diver, and then can also kind of push off the break a little bit. So I think he really fits in kind of that small ball five spot, 4-5, in a team that wants to play small, get up and down. You know, you're seeing the success of a Bam Adebayo. You're seeing the success of a Montrezl Harrell. And I think that's a perfect mold for Precious moving forward.
We just had, not too long ago, RJ Hampton on the show, and I think he's sort of one of the more intriguing pieces in this draft. He's been working out here in Memphis with Penny Hardaway. Mike Miller says he's really trying to address the shooting and address those questions about his shooting. What do you think about him as a prospect? Are you high on him? Do you think he's a bona fide lottery pick? What's your opinion of RJ Hampton?
Yeah, he's going to be right in the mix, you know, for the lottery, you know, probably the back end of the lottery. But listen, it's easy to forget that this is a kid that was like top five in his class, right? And you know, was in the USA basketball program from a really, really young age, has played in some high level games, you know, at the FIBA level. His athleticism is the thing that stands out most there. I mean, at that size, 6'5", 6'6". You know, he's a complete blur in the open court. And now I think it's about just continuing to fine-tune, you know, some of the skill aspects, like you said, you know, shooting the ball, making the right reads. But, you know, I think he learned a lot being overseas and playing in New Zealand and, you know, learning how to play against physicality and learning how to you know, play a role on other guys who have the ball in their hands as well. And so I think that's going to put him ahead, you know, of some of these guys coming out of the draft just because he has that experience. So I kind of look at him as a blank slate, right? Like, he's athletically really impressive and can do a little bit of everything. It's just a matter of, you know, honing all those skills to reach his full potential.
I think at least Gavoni's latest, ESPN's latest, that Cole Anthony is 15. Why is he dropped, Mike?
You know, there are a lot of good players in this draft. And, you know, UNC had an up and down season. And, you know, obviously he was dealing with injuries and things like that. So, you know, I think that just opened the door for some other guys to emerge, right? I mean, you know, there are a lot of guards in this draft as well. You know, the kid Killian Hayes, you know, the French kid who was playing out in Germany, you know, he's a guy who helped himself. Aaron Nesmith, the shooter out of Vanderbilt, he helped himself. Patrick Williams, you know, out of Florida State. Devin Vassell. There are a lot of players who I think just emerged, right, this past season. And so I think people know what Cole can do. Scouts know what Cole can do. I mean, he's a bona fide scorer. You know, he's probably a guy who's a better passer than he gets credit for, just given his surrounding pieces at North Carolina. And so I think that's a pretty comfortable area for him. And I do think scouts feel comfortable knowing that, like, if they draft him, they're getting a guy who can score it at all three levels.
The projected top pick right now in the latest mock draft up there at ESPN is Anthony Edwards. We saw him here in Memphis. And what's interesting about that is that he didn't play great. Like, I would not say he played particularly well, but again, it's just one game. That's just our closest experience. What do you sort of see for him at the next level? I mean, is he going to be a guy who steps in and just can fill it up from day one? Is it going to take him some time to figure it out? What do you sort of see as the future for Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, he's an NBA level scorer. I mean, when he's going right, you know, he's the number one pick in the draft. And I was at the Michigan State game in Maui and saw that second half. You know, he goes for 37 points. Like, when he flips that switch, mm-hmm. he can get to any shot he wants on the court. He's extremely physical, getting downhill, you know, close to 6'5", 225 pounds. So I look at him as an all-star caliber scorer. I mean, I think he's a guy who could, you know, average 24, 25 points in the NBA someday just because of the ease at which he gets to his shots. Now, I think the question for him is, you know, continuing to find ways to impact winning when the jump shot's not falling, right? Like, being constantly engaged on the defensive end, you know, making the right decisions with the basketball. And there were some times this year, you know, the Dayton game before that Michigan State game, for example, you know, 6 points just came out and you know, slept walked through that game a little bit. So when you mentioned kind of seeing him on an off day, I think that's how scouts see it too. You know, one day he's an all-star for 10 years, and the next day, you know, you're hoping for a little bit more. So I think that's the reason why it's not like a complete lock that he's a number one pick right now, because I mean, talent wise, like, he's everything you want. You know, you look at Donovan Mitchell, you look at Victor Oladipo, you know, even Harden to some degree, a lesser degree, that he fits that mold, right? So I think, you know, landing in the right situation, especially if it was a Golden State, you know, would do wonders for his career.
You know, every single year it feels like with the draft, there's always a guy who just is a fast riser, kind of comes out of nowhere. And ends up going in the lottery. I think of Campaign. I think of Deontay Davis. I think of, you know, Cam Johnson, you know, last year. There's always, it seems like, a guy who, you know, has a great sort of draft prep and ends up fighting his way into that lottery. Is that possible this year, though? Because we don't have the traditional, there's no 6-on-6 stuff. There's no draft. I mean, there'll be a virtual combine, but who knows how much stock people will put into that. Like, are those the guys who get hurt the most, you know, who might have really blown up with traditional sort of 5-on-5 stuff, who don't get that this year? Is that who's hurt because of the COVID era?
Yeah, I think some of the more physically talented guys definitely, you know, take a little bit of a hit. You know, you look at like a Patrick Williams, you know, out of Florida State. If you get him in your gym, and, you know, you say, okay, this is a guy who looks like OG Anunoby, and you can shoot a little better than you think. And then, you know, you sit down with him, spend some time with him, and you're like, oh, man, what a great kid. Maybe he's going in the top 10, right? But I usually see the fringe first-round guys. Those are the ones who really benefit from, like, the combine. You know what I mean? I think of, like, a Dante DiVincenzo, a Josh Okogie, a Kyle Kuzma. Like, those are guys who played at the combine, killed it, and then went higher than we had them projected. Whereas when you're looking at lottery picks, you know, I think when we talk about, like, this guy rose or that guy rose, a lot of times teams already had a beat on those guys. You know what I mean? Like, maybe we're late to the party. But there are generally teams that have a good feel for who they really like, and maybe it's not all 30, and the pre-draft process wakes some of them up. But, you know, I think the smart teams generally know, you know, who are those guys who should be slotted in the top 10 of the lottery.
And then just your feelings on the star potential, if he gets there, you just wonder, LaMelo Ball, what do you think? And how does his development in terms of what he needs compare to his older brothers?
Man, he has a star quality about him that's really, really rare. It's funny, I was out there, I did a film session with him. And, you know, he's an incredible passer, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll ask him, like, what did you see here in pick and roll, or what did you see there? And most guys are very analytical, right? And they're telling you, oh, you know, the weak side tag, you know, they didn't help on the roller, or they did, and I hit the weak side corner, this and that. And he's just like, man, I'm just playing basketball. Like, I just literally play off instincts. And it's funny because for so often, you know, we criticize the way those Chino Hills teams played, right? Yeah. And they were 35-0. And we criticize them. And defensively, I think that's fair. And there's some things you could say about, you know, his trajectory up until this point. But he's just played so many basketball possessions offensively and seen so many different scenarios that he's just playing off instincts. And that's what's so interesting with him is, like, he's not afraid to make a mistake. He'll go for the home run pass. He's got the ball on a string. He's 6'7", almost 6'8". So I've said it. I mean, he's the guy I would take a swing on at number one, just because I see the star potential. I see the creativity. And it's just been a matter of getting him in a situation where, like, he's playing real basketball where every possession matters. And this past season was really, in Australia, it was really the first time in a long time that had been the case. And you could really see him grow, and he seemed to be enjoying the game and really bought in. So he's going to be one of the more interesting ones, man. Like, he's either going to go number one to a great spot and be a stud, or, you know, who knows? It could be a different path for him.
Hey, Mike, man, we appreciate the time
best,
and the
man.
Insight as always. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the lottery today.
Yes, sir. He is Mike Schmitz, ESPN NBA draft analyst.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.